Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, living in this world is hard enough. And most of us, I would say a percentage of us, go through this life blind. We just don't see. We don't understand. We have no clue what's going on. And in this first slide, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians 4. And you notice I kind of put up the last part of it. I want to read 1 through 5, and this has the latter part of it. So therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. And so you see, there is a certain amount of people that are blinded, and the reason why is because they're not believers. They haven't trusted Christ as their Savior. And I remember the time when that happened with me, and I remember others that I've been able to share with when they have come to Christ, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, is that what that's saying? And all of a sudden things start to, the light comes on, and it's so neat to see that when all of a sudden they understand. And you know, it's funny because it was when we didn't have so many different versions. We had the King James Version, and that was hard enough to understand just to read all those these and thous. And it was so interesting because the person would say, "Now it's clear to me now." And it's amazing when that happens. With those who believe, even us, when we believe, we sometimes get a little deceived. And Galatians 3, you don't have to turn there, 1 through 4, Paul says, who's bewitched you? How come you've fallen away so quickly? You know, we preach this certain gospel. And he says, and somehow you've strayed away from it. I want us to turn to John, though. John chapter 17. This is 1646 in your pew Bible. 1646, John chapter 17. What's interesting about this scripture is that Jesus himself is praying for us. Now that's pretty awesome. When you think about Jesus, the Messiah, God in the flesh, is praying for us. Now, he's praying for the disciples too, and he gets to us in a little bit. But starting in verse 14, Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Look at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Isn't that amazing? He's praying for us as well as his disciples, praying that we aren't deceived by the things that go on in this world, that we look to him and are filled with him. But the world's going to hate us because of him. So don't be surprised when the world does the things that they do. We have seen the battles constantly through our lives. Madeline Murray O'Hare was one of the biggest names, you know, of atheism. And now you can't hardly put a cross up anywhere without somebody complaining about it. And so the world doesn't want us as part of the world, but Jesus isn't part of the world, but his purpose was to bring us the message of hope, the gospel. But deception is used to fool, to hide the truth, to get what you want by tricking someone else. And I'd just like to illustrate that with a little video. And we're not going to have the sound up, but I want you to watch this video. It's called The Bootleg. And it's a deceptive play. And this is Peyton Manning. And let's just see what he does. See if you can follow it. Even the cameraman was fooled. That's called the bootleg. And what happens there is that he fools all the players into thinking he handed off the ball over here when he just takes it and hides it and runs off into the end zone untouched. And Satan uses the same tactics. He doesn't come right out and say, you know, here it is. I'm going over here. He twists the truth. He changes it into something that, you know, is partly recognized, but then it's a deceptive thing that he uses and brings us over to another area. And pretty soon it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I think I've just been fooled. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2, 1791 in your pew Bibles. Colossians chapter 2, 1 through 5. It says, I want you to know how much I'm struggling. Struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, unified in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am with you or absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ is. Fine-sounding arguments. The literal is persuasive arguments. You've seen it out here, you know, on news or wherever, you know, and somebody starts talking about something, and you're going, wait a minute, that's not true. You know, the big one was separation of church and state. You know, you've heard that over and over again, haven't you? Separation of church and state. You know, they constantly push, but that's not even in the Constitution. Wait, you know, the idea was they didn't want the church to become the state. But they never intended the church not to be part of the state. And so there's a deception there. And this persuasive argument, even to the point of getting in your face. What? You're saying that? And we were watching something the other day, and this girl, oh my goodness, was she out in left field, literally. And she argued and argued this point that was, you killed millions. Wait a minute, I didn't do anything. It's genocide. What are you talking about? You know, yeah, genocide has happened, but not quite the way you're talking. This scripture tells us to stay pure, to keep focused. And I want us to go to another scripture. It's in Romans chapter 16, 17:30 in your few Bibles. Romans chapter 16 and starting in verse 17. And this one says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving the Lord Christ, our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone's heard about your obedience, so I'm full of joy over you, and I want to be you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Stay pure. You know, these people are deceiving naive people. They're deceiving people who don't know the Scriptures. Deceiving people who, you know, it sounds pretty good. But the watch out, that word, literally, watch out, is a word in Greek that means traps and snares. And we've all know a little bit about traps and snares being in the Northwoods, because that's where some guys go out and they do trapping. And they put a bait or something that's very attractive to whatever they're wanting to trap or snare. And what happens is the animal comes over and it gets into the whatever it is, and then it gets trapped. Can't get out. And that's what Paul is saying in Romans here. He says, watch out for the traps and the snares that the devil puts out, that these individuals who are deceiving put out. It says here to keep turning away. Keep on turning away. So constantly we're turning away and staying innocent. We're to stay pure and away from those things. But it's very difficult, because if you don't know the Word, there comes this 10% truth, this little bit of truth, and it's like, you know, this isn't going to hurt you. You know, I know the people who start using heroin don't realize what heroin's going to do to you in the long term. They look at that the face value. They look at, oh man, this makes me feel so good. If they were able to look in the future when they were sober, when they were of sound mind, and look and see themselves 10 years in the future, they would go, oh my goodness, I'm not using that. I've told people that, you know, when I was a deputy medical examiner, I've gone on autopsies, and some of you are, oh my gosh, it's gross. And it is. And in one particular autopsy, there was the lungs of someone who had smoked for a long time. Now I tell you, if you smoke and you see that picture, you saw that, what I saw in that forensic doctor's hands, you would never smoke again. I'll guarantee it. Because it is the grossest thing you'll ever see. And I can't even imagine that coming out of a person. But that's what happens. See, we're deceived by the sexy this and the sexy that, smoking a cigarette, and it looks so good and so inviting. And when you start, you don't expect to be addicted to it, that it's difficult to quit. If you saw yourself years ahead, or you saw what I saw, you would say, I'm never even going to start. But that's the deception. And Satan uses it so well. He knows how to use it. He knows how to get us trapped. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24. 1509. 1509 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 24. This scripture here is that Jesus is speaking about the end times. And he's talking about what's going to be happening in the end times. Now, in this particular scripture, chapter 24, all the time that he's talking about the end time, three times he tells the disciples who he's talking to watch out for false messiahs, for false teachers, false prophets. And here we're going to read a portion of that, verses 4 through 7. It says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. And we look at what we see in today's history, today's current events, and we find that there's all kinds of people saying, hey, it's this truth, this is the truth, and that's the truth, and let's go here and let's go there. There's all kinds of false teachers. In 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, you don't have to turn there, but he says that there are individuals who are infiltrating the church. They're actually getting into the church through different methods and finding themselves in leadership positions, and they're deceiving the people. What it says there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They'll secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers exploit you with stories they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. In other words, fake news. We see it all the time. It boggles my mind when you watch a news program and you don't know if they're telling the truth or not anymore. Nowadays, you have to research to find out if they're telling you the truth. Because you can't just give it. Even on the internet, I remember years ago, somebody handed me a story and said, "You got to tell everybody about this." And I said, "Well, I don't know." And they said, "It's true." So I announced it from the pulpit that it was true. And then I went and researched it on my own and found out it wasn't true. And the thing is that's what we're ending up having to do, is research things on our own to find out what is true. Well, I want to tell you what the truth is right here. This is the truth. God's Word is the truth. And we're going to be inundated in this time, in this time period, the end times, I believe, with all kinds of situations, people who will infiltrate the church and sound really good until they get into a leadership position and they start poisoning the church with stories they make up, tearjerkers, horrific stories, slanderous stories, accusing and disputing and contradicting the truth. You know, the literal Greek for stories that made up, the literal, we get our word plastic from that. Plastic. There's no substance to it. You know, you've heard that said many, many times. "Don't judge me, man. You're judging me." You hear that on the news all the time. "Stop judging me. You're racist. You're this. You're that. You stop judging me." You know what the scripture says about that? It says to judge. Do you know that? It tells us to judge. Because how are we going to know who the false teachers are or who's not? It says you'll know them by their works. It says that a good tree doesn't put out bad fruit. You know, somebody told me that we're fruit inspectors. And we should go around and we should see and we should judge. We should discern. Now, we're not judging people to condemnation. That's wrong. But we're judging to discern, are they right or are they wrong? Is this truth or is this false? That's how we're supposed to judge. So, what do we believe? How do we go about this? Well, this first slide that I have is John 14:6, and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, if Jesus is truly the Son of God, which I believe He is, if He's truly the Messiah, the one who died on the cross, which we're going to be taking communion soon, if He died on the cross for my sins, which I believe He did, then He should know what is what. And He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I tell you what, you either believe Him or you don't. If you believe Him, you'll believe unto eternal life. If you don't, you'll be eternally separated from Christ, from God. You don't want to go there. I want to tell you right now. The second scripture is in 2 Timothy. It's up on the screen. His Word is God breathed. He inspired the writers of the Bible to write down what He wanted written down. This book that we have with the 66, all the books and all the authors that wrote down these scriptures for us, they all wrote one theme, one purpose, They were told how to write it, but in their own personality, they wrote out the words that are here. It's for teaching. Look at what it says, rebuking and correcting. Well, if I can't judge somebody, how can I rebuke or correct them? I have to be able to say, you know, you're headed down the wrong path. According to Scripture, this is not the way you should go. And it's also for training in righteousness. We're supposed to use the Scriptures to train in righteousness. Now, I want to get to the last Scripture here. Finally, what do we do? It's Ephesians chapter 6, 1781, in your pew Bibles. This is, if you turn to no other Scripture, turn to this one. Ephesians chapter 6, 1781, in the pew Bibles. Starting in verse 10. Paul again, he's saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, wait a minute, though. Does that, you know, is it, I have to go to the store, the armor store, and buy this metal armor and chain of mail and you know, the leggings and all those things? That's not what he's talking about. It's a spiritual battle. When you fight a spiritual battle, you need spiritual tools. To play basketball, you need a basketball. You need the rules. You need to know how to dribble. You need to know how to shoot. All those things. But you know, to play PlayStation basketball, all you need is a controller. I don't need all those things anymore. So the right tools for the right thing. You know, I play golf on Wii sometimes. You know, and I'm really good. I'm really good at it. I get eagles. I've gotten a few holes in one. You know, no sweat. Easy. But when I go out on the golf course for real, it's not so easy. It's not so fun. I mean, well, I have fun. But I don't make those holes in one. I have never made one. I've never made an eagle. Once in a while, a birdie. But you know what? It's the reality. That's reality. You know, the tools that we need to be using for the spiritual battle are spiritual tools. We see in this material world, but God told us, Jesus told us, that the things you don't see are the things that are going to last forever. Those are things lasting forever. Things we see, they're not going to last forever. So what tools are you using? You know, Jesus tells us to trust Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I can look at the material world. I can look out there and philosophers and all these other people in the world, and they tell you, oh, come on, you've got to trust in yourself. You're the real one. You got to be, you know, transcend to whatever, whatever. But the Scriptures, the truth, tells us to rely on Jesus Christ, to trust Him in all things, in all areas. To put on the armor of God, to fight the spiritual battle so that we can stand up against the devil's scheme or his deceptions. There's a deception coming soon. It's called virtual reality. If you don't think that that's a tool of Satan, I don't want to tell you, yeah, oh yeah, it's innocent. You look at all the things. You can travel somewhere without going there. But I want to tell you something. Anything that takes you away from God's Word, that absorbs your life. There are people giving their lives to finding Bigfoot. Have they found him yet? But they're giving their lives to it. They're going to live their whole lives and die, and on their headstone it's going to say, they never found them. People devoting their whole lives to finding UFOs and proof there's UFOs and aliens in Area 51. Have they found them? No. But the government's got them hidden, I'm telling you right now. There was a lady, that Jane Goodall. She devoted her whole life to monkeys. Is one monkey going to heaven? The scripture doesn't tell me anything about monkeys getting the gospel. She devoted her whole life and died spending it with monkeys. You know, Satan's deceptions are just that. He gets you to devote your life to something that's meaningless. This is the truth. We need to devote ourselves to spreading the gospel, to sharing the truth about eternal life, to share with people that there is a Savior and there is eternal life. And if you don't accept Him as your Savior, you will not have eternal life. It's unfortunate that some in this world are going through life blinded because they can't see that. But that's what we're here for. That's our job. That's what we need to devote our lives to, is sharing the gospel. He said to go, make disciples. There wasn't a suggestion. Do you know that that was a commandment? Jesus said, go. And so, whatever our gifts are, whatever we just, you know, whatever the Lord gives you as a gift to use, it's what He wants you to use. You know, we watch a movie, and we see these movies, and we come home, we tell everybody about the movie. You know, and it was so cool. You know, this happened and that happened, and then lightsabers and stuff flying all over, and wow, that was just amazing. And then somebody says, don't you go to Praise Chapel Church? And you go, I don't know what you're talking about. Never been there. We got to start talking. Say, man, yeah, you wouldn't believe it. That preacher gets crazy. He can't golf with a dart. You know, there's something that you can bring it up. Share with somebody something. You know, and wow, you know, we had communion. It was so amazing. Trusting Christ. Knowing. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. I just looked on the news. 5 volcanoes this year erupted. 5 volcanoes already. Earthquakes going nuts. Hurricanes coming out of nowhere. Fires in the West. You would think the world's coming to an end. Well, it is. One of these days, it's all going to bust loose. You know what? I'm okay with that. I don't want to see people get hurt. That's for sure. But I would rather see somebody have their trust in Jesus Christ, so that if that time comes where they're swept away in a hurricane, or they're swept away with a volcano, or swept away with an earthquake, that I can say, you know what? I know they're in heaven. I have that trust. And if that would happen to me, I remember one time a big tornado coming, the sirens went off, we're all here in church on Wednesday night, and Shauna says, what do we do? I said, we just sit here and wait. The Lord takes us, He takes us. I'm okay, because I got my trust in Him. I want us to have a word of prayer right now. And I want, if you haven't done it, I want you to do it. It doesn't hurt. It's not like getting a shot. It's not like giving up things that are good for you. You're giving up the things that aren't. Let's just bow our heads and have a word of prayer before we get to communion. Father, as we come before You, we're faced with the realities. Not the realities according to the world, but the realities according to Your Word. That we have a choice before us. And that choice is, do we believe the world or do we believe You? And Lord, I pray that we have come to the place at this moment where we believe You. And that what You tell us is that the world hates us. The world hates You. For good reason, because the world is against You. Satan doesn't want anybody to go to heaven. But according to Your Word, You want everybody to go to heaven. You want none to perish. So Lord, I pray right now that if there's somebody here that has not given their lives to you, that they would pray right now, that they would pray, Father, I need you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. I want you to enter into my life, to make me a new creature, to save me from my sins, to forgive me from my failures. I trust you with my entire life. Make me that new creature, one that is not subject or slave to anything, but is free in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of salvation. And Lord, for those of us that are old Christians, we've been Christians for a while, Lord, I pray that you would have us just pray, Lord, I want to serve you more. I want to be your light in this world. I want to tell other people about you, whether it's by word or by deed. I want people to know that I'm a Christian, and I want them to know that there is salvation in you, that they don't have to go through this life miserable. They can go through this life in victory. Lord, I pray also as we take communion that you would rest your hand upon us, or that you would give us the freedom that we so desperately need. And Lord, that we would remember you and the sacrifice you gave for us. We thank you and pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like the deacons to come forward for the... Give you a moment to open those and start with that top wrapper if possible, and it takes some time sometimes. We'll give you some time to do that. And then just open the cup as well at the same time. All right. You know, as Jesus was in that upper room and he shared with the disciples what was going to happen to him, and of course they didn't believe it. And it said that he was beaten beyond recognition, and then nailed to a cross. That's what this bread represents, his body broken for us. And as it represents that, we remember what he did, and that is giving his life for us. I'd like to just have a prayer blessing for the bread as he did in the upper room, and then we'll take it together. Father, we thank you for this bread. We ask that you will bless it. Lord, use it to remind us of what Jesus did, beaten for us and nailed to that cross. Thank you for your sacrifice in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. Also, the cup he took, and he said that this is his blood. Well, if you can imagine Jesus, the God in the flesh, he's not supposed to die. And how he's nailed on the cross, realizing that he's dying. And he said, "It is finished," and he gave up his spirit. Voluntarily gave up his spirit. No one took it from him. He died because he loved us. And so his blood represents the salvation we have, the righteousness we gain from his sacrifice. And so I'd like us to take this cup together in the name of Jesus. We have a song that we're going to sing. And it's called "In Christ Alone," and I think you know this song pretty well. It goes from birth to the resurrection.